Say that again. Just for emphasis.
That's always hard. You talk out of an inspiration, and then, so what was that?
Yeah, that's true, right. Say the same thing differently. How's that?
Well, I think one has to control one's life. You know, you can't let all of your impulse system take over. You wouldn't have a life. You'd go to pieces.
But in some sense, when you follow the adventure, you really have to let go of wanting to control it, don't you?
I know, but that's the problem. That's why I say heavy winds blow. There's that saying in the Chandogya Upanishad, or maybe it's the one of the other Upanishads, the narrow blade of a razor is this. It's a narrow, difficult path. And the problem is, this is the real problem of the left-hand path of following your bliss instead of instructions. You're following the lead of your emotion and your vitality, but the head has to be there all the time. And you're on a narrow ridge. And the danger is falling off. That is to say, letting too much of the torrent of energy come through and blow it. There's nothing right or wrong when you're on the path. But there is imprudent and prudent action. Do you see what I mean? Because you're beyond good and evil as soon as you step out of the society. But, you know, you can lose your life that way. That's why it's a dangerous path. It is.
It's also the dangers inherent in becoming what's known as a spiritual teacher, that narrow path is walked on.
One of the dangers of the spiritual teacher job is pride. You think you are a spiritual teacher, you know? You're not. You're giving people clues so that they can develop their own spiritual life. But if you take pride, then you've fallen off the sword bridge.
This whole idea of following the life of spirit and having to surrender, give up, and I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what that surrender is all about. It's really, in mythological terms, a surrender to the God within, isn't it?
Yes, but you know, the God within may not have very much respect for the life that you've got to lead. And so you got to keep God from pushing too hard. Do you see what I mean? Let him come slowly. Because being God is not being on earth. God himself had to descend and get crucified to be on earth, you see. And that business of not getting quite crucified... is the task. It is a narrow path. If you're really following the adventure of the impulse system of your life. One of the big impulse moments that many, many people follow is falling in love and marrying a person. I mean, you're not following the rules of the society who select the person you should marry, you know, and all that kind of thing. It's a real adventure. And it's one that you mustn't be afraid of when you begin to find out what a mysterious adventure is turning out to be. I think the big divorce rate comes from failure to be able to continue the adventure. Because no matter whom you tie up your life to, you're going to find this is a mysterious person, and there's a lot there that I didn't know about, and even the person itself didn't know about, and the person is having the same problem in relation to you as subject.
And both are changing all the time.
All the time.
Having to be open to that change. So often we want to freeze the other person into a position, a place.
Naturally, you know, people have a notion of what a marriage ought to be or the marriage they want. You can't have it and have the adventure of a love marriage. I mean, one or the other.
It's true.
And wherever the love takes you, there you go.
And that's the adventure.
That is the adventure. I see marriage in two stages. One is that wonderful impulse stage of youth, and everything's coming up roses and the birds are singing and all that. Then there comes a time when those vital energies aren't there. But at the same time, there is an awakening of spiritual relationship. And when that doesn't happen, you see people getting divorced. I've been shocked. A number of my friends who, they brought up the family. Everything was wonderful. The kids are gone. They get divorced. The second marriage, in every marriage, is the mystical one. The first is the physical, then the mystical. And that's the big step of the adventure. The first, we're going to have kids, the kids are going to go to school and all that kind of thing. And that's just the time in marriage, you see, when people tend to go apart. All the things that bound them together, the physical things, the joy of bringing up the family and all that, gone. So what next?
In some sense, too, all of those things have become walls to prevent us from really asking the question, why am I here?
Yeah.
What is it all about?
You got a lot of reasons, you know, and just to have two cars or to, you know, win a lottery or something like that. But, heaven's sakes, that's the adventure. And it gets to be more and more adventurous the longer you live, I tell you that much.
Going back to your study of Native American lore, and one of the myths that come out of the Native American tradition is the myth of the vision quest. And I'm wondering how you would relate the vision quest to Christian mythology. What would be the counterpart in Christian mythology?
Well, it is the counterpart of the mystical approach. What might be called the Pentecostal point of view, that one, through one's own inward experience, experiences the divine mystery in the way of one's own culture references and possibilities. This is the wonderful thing, I think, about the American Indian tradition, that sense of a divine a realization possible to everyone, and one's whole life then is based on the experience of that vision. Whether the young man was to become a great warrior or a shaman or a chieftain is revealed to him at that time. So one finds one's own way through one's own experience, a way in the world in which one's living.
Why is appreciating such a myth important and relevant to the times we live in today?
Well, what I feel about the American Indian material is that for Americans, it's very important to know something about it, because mythology is rooted in the land as well as in the psyche. And our mythology has been brought from the Near East a very long, long time ago. It was put together. And it does not relate to our land unless we can, through our own experience, make it relate, do you see? And if you do not have that experience, then the Holy Land is somewhere else. But the great realization of mythology is the imminence of the divine here, now. You don't have to go anywhere else for it. This is the Holy Land, the holy place, the holy moment. And I think that's a basic Christian experience in the land where Christianity emerged, but then as an import somewhere else, all images have been alien. Do you see what I mean? And to find the Christ power here is the goal of such a meditation.
In some sense, we have the Native American tradition being kind of the mythic image of the land, and then the land became settled by cultures and peoples from many other traditions and societies and social milieus, and bringing a lot of different myths to the pot, as it were. And how do you see that has happened in America? I know you've written and talked about the idea that myth has been lost to us. Do you think that had something to do with it, the fact that this melting pot of various traditions coming into America produced a kind of a hodgepodge, no-myth society?
Well, the founding myth of the United States was the Christian myth in one sectarian form or another. Every state in the Northeast was formed by a sect that departed from the one next door and set up its own affair. But these are all variants of the Christian tradition. And this was a tradition that saw the truth as uniquely present in Christianity, and there was an actual degradation and denial of the possibilities of anyone else having the tradition. so that the deities of the Indians and the divine experiences were regarded as diabolical manifestations. I mean, one gets this all the time. I think that was a terrible thing to have happened.
What about all this we hear about the deterioration or the disappearance of the nuclear family, the loss of family roots, and kind of, again, the melting into society of individuals